Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right, there we go. So welcome everyone to Take Human Action PA episode 40. I'm Calvin, I'm your host, and we got Regina and Rob with us today. How are you both doing?
Most excellent, Calvin, most excellent. Thanks for having me.
Regina, how about you? All right, welcome back to her. Yeah, so anyway, well, it is fitting that we have our issue coalition's chair with us here today, as well as our party chair. We'll come back to her when she gets on, but for now I'll go to introducing our guest for the night. So you all know him, you all love him. He's founder of Black Guns Matter and the Solutionary Center in Philadelphia, PA. He's premier libertarian speaker, activist, and candidate for Philadelphia City Council in 2019. Let's bring on Maj Ture. How you doing, Maj?
What's up, man? How y'all feeling?
I'm pretty good. Good to have you on. It's been a long time coming. Glad we're able to set this up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it is your first time on the show, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to real quick introduce yourself for anyone who's not familiar with you, and just tell us how you got started in politics and, you know, Second Amendment, conflict resolution, all the stuff you're working on now.
Yeah. For anyone that's not familiar with me, don't be mad. I'm super boring. There's no reason to even look into me at all.
No, I wouldn't say that.
we started an organization a while back called Black Guns Matter, which is in essence a Second Amendment organization that goes to the demographics that is traditionally left out of the conversation. Usually when we discuss the Second Amendment because of, you know, potential restrictions or unconstitutional statutes on the Second Amendment in big cities, many times that conversation, you know, urban demographics are left out of it. So that means if it's not presented in the urban demographic, the information and the training isn't there. So we created an organization to go to those areas that were generally being left out of that Second Amendment conversation. And just giving classes to people, you know, for free that wanted to learn about basic safety. How am I a safe and responsible firearms owner? Now, that's something that is should be a nonpartisan issue. It should be both nonpartisan and partisan, both so-called, you know, political sides, or wherever you land on the political spectrum, because it's not just one or the other, you know, right or left. There's a balance. Some people just happen to be, you know, a lot of them happen to be libertarians, or just a lot more balanced. And so because of that, wherever you land on that political spectrum, there should not be a pushback for your right to defend yourself. Whether that is true or not, or being skewered for, you know, for whatever reasons was a different thing. So we started an organization to do that. We started to see how polarized it was, how, you know, the racist practice of gun control, and in a time when everything is called racist, if we disagree with something, there actually are things that are race-based, were race-based, and the outcomes now are still race-based. And gun control in America is absolutely one of them. And so in doing that, we started to have these bigger conversations at our, you know, events and classrooms about firearms. But it quite naturally, because things are so polarized for the last few years, it quite naturally started to have different conversations. The conversation around liberty, the conversation about, you know, what is conservatism? Why is it that mostly Democratic cities, democratically ran cities, or the Democratic Party is in leadership of these cities? You know, why is that conversation about firearms ownership kind of like left out in these areas? So then you have other questions. You have, you know, it leads into the conversation of, again, of how race and certain themes is a repetitive thing in certain demographics or in certain topics. And so that's going to quite naturally lead you into the political conversation. And then you'll start to see some of the limitations. You'll see, you know, if someone was, because I wasn't always libertarian, I mean, politically. I was raised Democrat, you know, matriculated into, you know, being a member of the Republican Party. When you start to know more and more of the history, you continue to evolve. And this is a good thing. It would be great if we could start younger people from a liberty perspective, and maybe we'll evolve into something even more great as, you know, time goes on and continues. But nonetheless, we started to see that conversation, and it quite naturally leads you into politics. And if you want to make a change, on a local level, especially, if you should get involved, you should be engaged. So we ran for city council in Philadelphia. We knew, you know, Philadelphia is 90%, you know, like Democratic. We knew it was going to be an uphill battle, but we wanted to make sure that the conversation about libertarianism, because I ran as a libertarian, was also led into the demographic after having some success with the same approach as it relates to firearms. So we get this big ball going of, you know, human right to natural defense, the human right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness and property. And this conversation of overall liberty, and seeing that just as the firearms ownership conversation was being stifled, we see that the conversation about, you know, third party politics or third parties in general, and the conversation about liberty is also being limited and restricted in these same demographics. And so, you know, some years later, we've refined the messaging as it relates to the Second Amendment community more and tailored it for that demographic, as well as right now we're making a serious, serious approach in tailoring the conversation as it relates to liberty for that urban demographic. And some of the folks that are coming to a lot of the libertarian conventions around the corner, again, we just had the one in Pennsylvania a few weeks back. I'll be giving a presentation and a breakdown of how we can do that. What does that look like to package and do outreach in the demographics that need it the most, as well as we need the most as libertarians, as the party? And our messaging is obviously attractive to those demographics, but if we're not there or don't translate it properly, we miss that. So, you know, it's very, very important to make sure, you know, if you guys are in New Jersey, come to that convention. If you guys are in Florida, if you guys are in whatever, I would love to go to every single state's state convention and give these presentations on outreach in the demographic. I think that's very, very important, guys, because having the ball is one thing, but you got to put the ball in a net, and you have to have a skill set to do that. If we talk using basketball as a reference. So in a roundabout way, that's how it translated from, you know, firearms and training to a political understanding, because they are not separate. They're not. If someone is more authoritarian, you can kind of dictate how they feel about guns in the hands of the people, even though if they say, you know, oh, I'm a Republican, but if you're authoritarian, you probably just want certain types of people that you deem fit. And how extreme or goofy that looks is on that scale. So if you're about liberty, we can probably have a good estimation. If you're really about liberty, how many restrictions you want on firearms ownership or the human right to self-defense, and how many you don't want. So yeah. our job now is just to inform people, and we look forward to fusing that message into urban America.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, definitely, if you're around New Jersey or Florida, make sure to go out and see this guy. I've seen him speak so many times now, and just like particularly last year in Reno and this year in Pennsylvania, just blew me away. I'm sure like both of them are there in Pennsylvania. They can attest to that as well. In fact, I think Rob had a question along those lines. Yeah. So what do you got, Rob?
Well, I just want to say thank you. First of all, your speech down at Reno really lit a fire under my ass. Convinced me to get the chair of the party in Pennsylvania here, and then I just got reelected again. So we're doing well. But, you know, you spoke to me there quite a bit about, who's going to last in this thing. And I think Pennsylvania, we're lasting so far. We'll see how many of us stand to go. But there's a question I've wanted to ask you for a while now. And my understanding of the Black Guns Matter movement and everything that you're doing is all about self-reliance and taking, stop asking for protection, stop asking for help and start, finding it within your own communities. But one issue that we hear in Pennsylvania and something I'm real personally close to as a criminal defense attorney is the issue of jury nullification. Mm-hmm. Now, this is something that I find, especially in urban communities where I work at in the criminal defense world, this is something if they understood the power of what jury nullification is able to do, they can basically, a community can take the drug war and basically put it out of their community overnight. I wonder if you had any thoughts about the concept of jury nullification and how we can move that in and as a messaging tool into the urban community.
Yeah, 100%. There's most of the things that we talk about, right? You'll see a component of how mainstream media narratives tell us to do the opposite, right? So if we say, hey, we're going to have a fair and balanced diet, television will say, oh, that person that's working out and they're a health nut, right? If you say, I'm a freedom person that believes in the ability to of persons to defend themselves with up into and with firearms, they'll say that person's a gun nut. Same concept is true for when you're having a conversation about how television and mainstream narratives make jury duty and the process of being involved in jury selection or anything, you're supposed to avoid it. Television will say, oh man, I gotta go to jury duty. Ah, blah, blah, blah. Anything that's associated with jury or being on a jury or jury, they don't even talk about, they don't even use the word nullification. They don't even say it. They just say you should avoid anything associated with juries. I want people to really pay attention to that because it's called a television program. It's designed to give you a programming. Jury nullification or the ability to shape that as it relates to who's going to be arrested or charged and all of these different things for things like the war on drugs. To your point, Rob, the war on drugs has been another, again, everything isn't racist, but some things absolutely are. Now, does it mean that it stops? Like, oh, we're going to drop drugs off in the Black community. Like, that's not even a conspiracy. That's not like a theory anymore. They make entire TV shows about, okay, in the 70s and 80s, we dropped off crack and cocaine. The CIA did it. It's a whole television show called Snowfall, more recently, all about it, right? But then it spreads. Like right now, it'll be, okay, well, let's absolutely do the same thing in a white community. Poor white communities, you guys are about to get hit with opioids and fentanyl. Like that's happening. But it's still something that's illegal or unlawful that even the founding fathers did the opposite. Like they had hemp farms and all of this other type of shit, right? People should be able to be informed and make informed decisions of consent of what they want to put into their body as adults. The state should not have anything to do with that. Now, if you can nullify juries, you can shift how juries are selected and things like that. some of the things that we are being targeted for, you won't be targeted anymore. Another example of, and it's not necessarily jury nullification, but it's a point that I'd like to add, is not even taking plea deals, not even like there's a way to jury nullification stalls the process. The reason why they don't want you to be that involved is because they want the process to keep going so they can keep making money. So I, anytime I've ever caught a case, I've never I have at certain points before I knew better, took a plea deal. Yeah. I don't want to take a plea deal. I want to fight this. Let's hurry up and go to court. If more Americans get involved in that process, and I'm tying it back into nullification, more Americans, especially in demographics that are being targeted a certain way. Listen, man, he had the weed, you know, you had the weed on you. I know you don't want to go to court. Just take the plea deal and you won't have to do any jail time and blah, blah, blah. These deals that one are deals between two attorneys. They are not deals between judge has absolutely no obligation to respect that fucking deal between two attorneys. That's number one. Number two, you take a plea deal, you like in most instances waive your right to an appeal, which is wild. But there are things in there to incentivize and trap you to not be fighting fully through the process because we want to make a business off of this and we want to just keep you running through it. If more
not
people,
just that, but then you add in minimum mandatory sentencing where they are overcharging you for things that just get you to take the plea deal. Now you never get the appeal. Now you never even get the chance to be in front of a jury.
Right. And so all of these different things, if more people stood up and was aware of that and said, no, we're going to take this to trial. We're going to use case law. We're going to use precedents that are set. We are going to be informed. And we like court is the shit. Court is the shit. The reason why court is amazing is because it might be like in a weird way. And I'm talking about as the current system as it stands. It might I mean, we know that it's a system of or supposed to be a system of checks and balances. But it may be one of the last ways to defend some things that are already in the Constitution. It's bad if we're already at the point where we're looking at the state or excuse me, the courts to save something that's already in the Constitution is not a part of or not a part of the Constitution. Right. Like it doesn't say in the Constitution like, yo, bro, you can't use drugs. Like the dudes that wrote it weren't they were doing drugs. Like that's just the reality. But it may be one of the last bastions of defending our human rights. So going back to the jury concept, the people that make up the jury pool, the people that we choose, the people that we nullify in those spaces, nullify entire targets around certain concepts. And so I think people really should look into it. And I'm always careful to challenge people. Hop on your favorite search engine, type in what jury nullification means. Ask other people the questions and start that engagement on social media. That's what social media is actually for. Yo, I looked in the jury nullification. This is what I found. What do you guys think? Put a tweet out. And people will start to articulate it. And then we start getting people going. Like, it's damn near impossible for my friends that are still in the street. If they think they can beat a case and they got some resources, I've communicated with them so well that they almost would laugh at someone that would try to offer them a plea deal if they caught a case. They almost would laugh at this point. And they'll also go, oh, you don't want to go to trial. Mm. Oh, okay, let's fucking go to trial. Yeah. And so I want people to get that same level of interested and understanding of the jury selection process, jury nullification, why you should have a trial by your peers in a jury, as well as why they should go be a part. When you are the person that gets selected for jury duty, please, guys, go. It's not it's like a thing. They don't even like ask me to go anymore. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure you got Rob's head spinning as we speak.
I appreciate that. It's a concept that I'm really trying to push here in Pennsylvania because Pennsylvania is William Penn is actually responsible for the entire concept of jury nullification coming into creation. It's why he went from England to the United States to create Pennsylvania. So we here in Pennsylvania have a very special connection with jury nullification. I'd love to see us get a constitutional amendment to the PA Constitution requiring an instruction about jury nullification at every trial. Yeah. But You know, that it's something that I try and bring out every time. It's something I don't hear people talk about much, but I thank you. Thank you for your words on it. That was fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah. I did not know that was William Penn that had that layup for us. When I was in high school, I used to smoke a lot of weed. I used to sell weed and smoke, which is completely backwards. But, you know, teenagers do silly things. Not that smoking of the weed, I'm just like, you're cutting into your profits, bro. Like, this just doesn't make sense. I used to get high and take tours of City Hall and like Benjamin Franklin's print shop and the Masonic building across the street from City Hall. There's some amazing history in Philadelphia where I live. I mean, like amazing. In the middle of City Hall, right? You know, there's those four entrances, like the north side, the west side, the east side. In the middle, there's a big, that's the exact center of Philadelphia where it's like the sundial. But at those different four entrances, right? One of those, there's carved statues in four columns of men. One of the four columns is indigenous peoples, and you can see what with their headdress and all that other stuff, Asian people, white people, and African people of African descent, black folks, holding up the actual structures that make that hold up City Hall. That was sculpted there. City Hall was like the largest city municipal building like ever, right?
Yeah, up until they started doing steel construction, right. Yeah.
And so that was like a nod to all of the people that went into making like City Hall and Philadelphia and the nation in general. But these parts of these stories, like jury nullification, like the concept of liberty, like, you know, William Penn getting, you know, some land from, it was gifted to his pops, and then him coming here and his dad being an admiral and all of these different stories. The general public just has no idea, especially if Philadelphia is such an interesting city because it's juxtaposed all of this blue collar and, you know, amazing history. I mean, like the Declaration of Independence was signed here. Like the Marines was created here. Like Mother's Day was invented here. Philadelphia has such an amazing history. But a lot of people in Philadelphia, we don't even go like to the fucking Rocky Steps. Like we just don't. And so I would challenge folks, not only just in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, but in the cities that you're in. If you live in a city like Norfolk, if you live in a city like Detroit, there is California, Compton, Los Angeles. There are so many historical references in these cities and states, especially swing states, especially states like, you know, like if you live in Virginia, you should absolutely go to Colonial Williamsburg. You should absolutely go to those places. Yeah. And to just get a better understanding of, you know, that. And I'm saying this because it's about, like, I didn't even know that nugget about William Penn. Now I got to go learn that, right? these are the things that, you know, in order to see the future, we kind of, it's the Sankofa bird symbol. In order to go forward, you got to like know your past. And these are timeless concepts that the things that we're fighting against now, we already have a blueprint for like how we could fight them. And how those dudes were like, with their contradictions, because a lot of them owned humans. Those dudes were also like, hey, we want to protect against X, Y, and Z. We are actually living currently in the country now that I love America. I've traveled the world lightly. I've been across America at least 8 times at this point. So we have contradictions and I love our nation, but we are very rapidly, even more rapidly, starting to be the nation that the founders fought against. Yeah. You know, like in practice. Mm-hmm. And our overreach. I mean, there's American standing army bases in like every other country, like, you know, all across. That's a standing army. You know, that's yo, bro. For a long time, our international policy was we had no international policy, you know. And there's a great book called Diplomacy by Kissinger that. And obviously Kissinger has his, you know, whatever. I just read everybody. But there's an understanding of liberty that we kind of got to tap into to recognize that not even becoming, we've became the empire. And
yeah,
you know, do you want to be an empire, or do you want to be a republic? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, which one do you want to be? And so I just challenge everybody to, you know, even if you know stuff, like I know stuff about Philly, but I did not know that about William Penn and his association with jury nullification.
Yeah, I think it's pretty
to challenge everybody to learn some stuff, you know?
Yeah. There's a, yeah, his house is up, like his summer house up the river is not too far from me, Pensbury Manor. So you'll have to visit there sometime.
Yeah.
So, Regina, you had a question, right?
Yeah. So, somewhat similar to Rob, your speech at the convention, at the PA convention, really spoke to me, because I see a lot of the same things that you brought up with we need to have a wider demographic within the party. And there's a lot of issues that will speak to those groups.
Yeah.
But you brought up a wonderful point about making sure to not look like it's pandering, because there's always that trick of not wanting to look almost like the left, who tend to use those groups as, you know, a platform to simply boost themselves up, but they don't actually pass the policies or do anything that actually helps those communities. Mm-hmm. So if you could go into a little bit, you know, like how to, like with building issue coalitions, like how do you, what would you recommend for someone like me who's trying to build those relationships and start building those bridges to enlighten people about these core liberty movements?
Two things: articulating those core liberty principles and ideologies, why they're foundational to your life, as well as the benefits that come from them. And again, finding, well, three things. The next would be using references from the past that relate, right? If someone has been told the entire time that all of the founders were slave owners, which they all were not, no one talks about George Mason, no one talks about Thomas Paine, right? Or guys that at least shaped the minds of most of the founders too. Like, if not for George Mason, I don't even know if America's here, right? When you tell somebody that has been historically told one thing, which in a lot of it's true. Yeah, Thomas Jefferson, his pen was amazing. Like, writing a Declaration of Independence was amazing, but he owned humans. That is a contradiction that we have to acknowledge. Without saying, fuck the Declaration of Independence, it's like, well, hold on now. Like, the dude might have, it's almost like, this is gonna sound so fucked up, and I'm not trying to sound fucked up. Every so often, if R. Kelly's song, if I Believe I Can Fly comes on, it's an amazing song. And if I'm driving down the street listening to I Believe I Can Fly, like if I might sing it, and I believe in you, like it's a good song. I'm going to separate and acknowledge that this person did shitty things too. But if you've told someone that doesn't recognize the great lyrics that they penned, and they only know one half of it, you got to use a better representation or a better person that represents the value for that demographic. And then after doing that, I don't create a separation. So when I came into the Second Amendment community, I would never say you guys is Second Amendment community. Even though we're underrepresented there, I go, these are our communities. I don't live in fucking, like, I don't have $100 million. I don't have $10 million in cash, right? I be in really rich neighborhoods a lot. And I'm like, yeah, man, our communities, the school choice thing, when I'm doing a conversation about that in Beverly Hills, clearly I don't fucking live in Beverly Hills. I'm like hood adjacent, right? But I'm going to say our communities in Beverly Hills are impacted, and they probably may not be as impacted as a community in North Philly by the lack of school choice and redlining and so forth and so on. But I'm not going to create a distinction or a difference. I'm going to say our communities, right? Mm. I try to avoid all forms of separation and translating to the demographic that I'm reaching, because now that person feels like, and I may not have the same level of skin in the game that they have just based on, you know, our geographic location where we live, But I want them to understand that we are united. And I want that messaging and the conversation to reflect that. The next, in my assessment, the groups of people, individuals and collectives, that are going to be very, very impactful to, you know, course correcting America are going to be the people that can articulate unity. If you can articulate and show unity and focus to do it over time, you're going to be very powerful. I watched Russell Brand the last few weeks, and it's looking like he's literally saying what I'm telling people to do. He was on a TV show and he was like, hey, Fox is horrible here. CNN is horrible here. And we as the people have to actually recognize that surely you can see, I think it was on Bill Maher, surely you can see Bill Maher as a comedian, as a writer, as a person that's caring about America, I'm paraphrasing, you can surely see that we have a corrupt system issue that is going to be the money and the lobbying groups and all of that in Congress, which the money shouldn't even be there. Surely you can see that this is both sides. When you say that, you humanize yourself. You show that, hey, I don't have a dog in a fight. This is a layup for libertarians because on a national level, even though liberty will resonate with most Americans on a national scale, we do not have the same level of infrastructure currently. We like the Republican Party starting out like up against the Whig Party type shit, right? So even though the people will resonate with it, we have to be decentralized, knowing that those individual and localized communities that we are verbalizing and showcasing our association with and part and unification with and of, that message will spread and it'll be national that way and it'll be a ground up. We're building a pyramid. It's not a top-down approach. We're building a solid base. The pyramid is the most strong shape in all of geometry. And so articulating that in a way by first finding the person that isn't going to be like a complete, like, what? You're talking to me about Thomas Jefferson. He owns humans. And they're right. But what if I talk to you about Frederick Douglass? Frederick Douglass is the Hall of Fame, top tier, first ballot, all-American champion of liberty and so-called conservative values. Values like being modest and whatever, because I have those values. It's hard to tell on my Twitter, but I have those more restrictive, like I'm going to be private, whatever, but also respecting the liberty of others that don't have to value me the same way or their views the same way. Uh-huh. If we used Frederick Douglass with that demographic and you walk them down that street, there's very little pushback. And you go, yo, man, because these are our communities that are being impacted by the things that Frederick Douglass was talking about hundreds of years ago. That person understands that it's not a pander, it's factual, and they get it because you in the trenches.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With him, and that's the one of the other things of just being in the trenches with folks. Some of my best experiences, man, with some solid dudes and dudettes, but it usually wasn't women a lot of times, because it was the example that I'm giving, it was cold, is when we were all selling what we were selling and we was outside just trying to make it, but it's cold and we might have one joint and we passing it, right? If you don't have, or you see guys like sharing a Lucy cigarette, right? Those there's more bonds forged between knowing that you in the trenches with me than damn near anything else. So if they see the person all of the time, this is why white liberal teachers usually, especially female teachers, white liberal female teachers can influence and infiltrate the minds of urban America, even though our values are generally more conservative and liberty leaning. Because they're there in the trenches with the students. And even if the fucking ideology is bullshit, we like Mrs. Rainey or whatever her name is, right? And I'm not saying that Mrs. Rainey is deliberately trying to manipulate children's minds. She's doing the best that, based on the schooling and the you know, Frankfurt School information that she got. So it's not a knock. It's just... we need to be there in the trenches and translating these things to the demographic that needs it the most. And I tweeted something that I tweeted in 2021 or 2022 today. And it said, if Republicans or so-called conservatives and libertarians are serious, I think at the time we might have been under a different management as far as the leadership of the Libertarian Party. I said, if they're serious, urban America will be at the forefront. That is where it's not because I live in an urban demographic. That is where the leftist strongholds are. And they didn't get those leftist strongholds like on oops. It was like, oh, we just happen to live here. So, yeah, we're just going to we're seeing it with Marxism. And again, I don't care what your value system is. If it works for you and you ain't hurting me and you ain't taking my shit, cool. And you're not fucking with people that can't consent. I don't care. If you want to make a commune and you guys want to practice communism in your thing, cool. If you guys got enough free market sense to make that make sense, because it's going to pull from that for sure. If you can do that, then I'm not mad at you. My point in saying that is the reason why these Marxist ideologies continue to appear and infiltrate is because it's by design. Uh-huh. And towards the end of all empires, when there's been a lack of information and education. I mean, historically, Russia with the ruble, whether you're talking about monetary policy, whether you're talking about how China is a new re-emerging market, but China has had dynasties. China's had dynasties. Like they were not, and they're, you know, a lot of time, you know, mostly, you know, farmland and all of that. But technologically, for hundreds of years, if you go back on your scope long enough on that timeline, technologically, they were way more advanced than European shit. It's what happened. Yeah. The Dutch, right? Like the first fucking transnational corporation, a Dutch Indian trading company. Like, uh-huh. These guys were empires, and they're all marked by their falls are marked by some of the very similar things that we're in right now. The decadence, the overspending, the, you know, just fuck it. We're just the most powerful. Right. And a big part of that is the lack of education. So the things that start to look attractive to certain people seem to be attractive because they don't know no better, because education is no longer, there's nobody in the trenches with them translating it to them to show, hey, the socialism shit in a little bit's going to look really attractive, but here's how it's going to fuck up. And that, even that cycle, that smaller, like socialism shows up like every 40 years, right? even that cycle is like, that's a small cycle. But if we could go, hey, year two of you thinking that this socialism thing is going to be attractive, here's why it's not. But that's an educational component. But the people that want that, that have a vested interest in financing the decline of not the Constitutional Republic of America, but the empire, because we are we are fucking an empire. They've done a very good job for some time to be in those leftist areas, to communicate to those young minds and institutionalize their minds to the point where you have 90% of the black vote going to one. It's not like a misnomer. Like, no, when you look at fucking black, like American political data, not like a 90% clip, that's not an accident, especially when black folks are some of the most leave me the fuck alone, mind your business, get out of my business people you will ever meet.
Yeah.
Ever meet. They're just like, I don't, what the fuck you calling the police to my house? That is fucking.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So, yeah. Sounds like you gotta get real with them. Like, not too basic, but at the same time, like, talk about how it's having like a real effect on their lives, on like all of our lives.
Mm-hmm. And that's right. All of our lives, mm-hmm. because we in this boat together. That's how we were successful with Black Guns Matter.
Mm-hmm.
You're like,
I learned a lot in the campaign
too. Our fates are intertwined, champ. Again, me even saying the reason why I say some of this shit, and you know, even if it happens to be a white audience, right? It's like, listen, bro. They dropped the drugs off. The drug war is a perfect example. They just started in my community. We were the test market. You guys are up next, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then they go like, well, damn, they're damn. For the last 7 years, there seems to have been an opioid epidemic.
Yeah, just like California policies going everywhere else now.
It's wild. And so when you showcase that, the people respond. The people know, again, like I said, you know, empathy. Do you give a fuck? I give a fuck for these reasons, even if it's a selfish reason. I understand. This is about to happen to my community too. And actually, that's why our community's got to push back against that. So empathy. Then getting to the facts of the matter, you know, and just talking about it and real time. Like that picture that I had, that picture of Pelosi and them taking a knee with the uh-huh. kente cloth. I'm like, that's not empathy. That's pandering. You know, then, you know, getting to the solutions together. So, yeah, that's in a roundabout way, you know, Regina, that's how we translate that. And if you're doing that consistently, you'll hear it. The people will say, man, it's no different than even if there's a running joke in everybody's community. Oh, man, them Jehovah Witnesses will knock on your door. And even if they like, it's too early, like, leave me the fuck alone. But what the general consensus is, yo, they on their shit. They believe in that, right? We just got to be the same way in a nicer way, like not knocking on somebody's door during their Sunday brunch. But, you know, just having that, you know, repetition to create that marketing and just using intelligent and simple strategies to get it done.
Yeah. Meet them where they're at. That's important too.
Yeah, and I want to say this lastly too. Like I say this a lot. Libertarians, you know, we've read like, okay, so right here, right? I'm going to just pull these books that I just happen to have right here. All right, boom.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. I still remember you giving out like books that I never thought I'd see people being interested in.
Yeah, there you go.
You give these books away, and we're well read, right? Shit like this.
Oh yeah.
We're smart. Not that other people in different demographics are dumb. We just have a different fucking like Austrian motherfucker. Only Austrian I might have known 10 years ago was Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, you know what I'm saying? So you're talking to me about Austrian economics initially. It's not that I'm dumb or don't have the capacity to receive the information. It's just I never even knew what the fuck you were I never knew what Austrian economics is or was, yeah. Right?
Right.
So liberty people tend to be smart people because we start be like the nerd shit. Like, we kind of nerds. And that's dope to be a nerd. Recognizing that everybody else is not a fucking nerd yet. We have to be revenge of the nerds. It has to be that way because the nerds have to make what we have very palpable. To some, how do I explain to somebody that for 40 years, Ron Paul was correct? Not just because Ron Paul is outside of the fact that he's like really smart and a doctor and all that other stuff and can retain information, but also because he understands the cycles of what happens with bad monetary policy. So if you show somebody that doesn't even know how the dollar works and what fractional reserve banking is, if you articulate that point, once they get it, they get it. Recognizing that you're sharing new information, you're creating a different wrinkle in somebody's brain should be something that you respect. Now you're starting to lead into being an educator and an instructor. And everybody starts out in fighting, you're a white belt. It's not a diss to you. It's like, hey, you got a lot of work to do because you haven't trained yet. The demographics that we are going into have deliberately not been trained at best. At worst, we have been deliberately trained on the wrong shit. So at best, this group, our fellow Americans has not been trained on purpose. Fuck it. Don't tell them. At worst, it's tell them the exact opposite. Again, all of these propaganda tools that we talk about when we watch the television, every television show makes fun of jury duty. Yeah. Every television show from the 60s to now makes fun of people eating healthy. They figure, especially if it's like a sitcom, everyone struggles with it. And it's like, oh man, I'm on a diet. I gotta drink water. I need wine, right? And I get it, it's partially funny, but it's a program. And if a certain person has been programmed a certain way, you have to unprogram and then reprogram. There is a responsibility associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so just saying that to keep everybody on, you know, the humble path of, because nobody that is a libertarian started out, unless your parents was already really on it. We were introduced to concepts and we grew.
Yeah.
If we can continue that white belt mentality for the new people that we engage as our fellow Americans, even if they're so-called on the left or currently Democrats, they are Americans that if I had to bet money, dollars to donuts, I'd bet that they were a product of a propaganda and a machine and a psychological operation. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's well said. So I did want to talk real quick about the workshops that you're doing as you're going across the country. Like, what are the topics that you cover there?
Yeah. So when we do, it depends on if we're doing a Black Guns Matter event. And I still try to merge political education and a Q&A into everything. But mostly in the Black Guns Matter events, we're doing basic firearm safety. We want people to be safe and responsible firearms owners. You won't be a marksman. You won't be an expert shooter in an hour, 2 hour class, but you could leave my class being absolutely, if you follow this formula, you will be an expert in firearm safety. And that's the biggest thing. I don't like guns. I don't want guns. I do want guns. My understanding of someone's credibility as it relates to a firearm is how safe do they handle and manipulate that firearm around other people? It's not, can you hit the target from this many, A-zone steel from this many yards away? That shit comes later. Everybody can do that. Red dots make that very much more easy at this point. So if we're doing that class, that's what that's about. But when it's doing these, the reason why I feel it's very important for every single state convention to try to get me out is because I want to do outreach. We need force multipliers. I want to train the people that's going to be in on the ground. If you're in Oakland or in Cali and you're doing a lot of stuff over there, you know Oakland better than I know Oakland. You know where to go, where not to go. You already got certain understanding of the environment. Now, if I give you more information on how to do effective outreach and you can tailor some of that to that specific demographic, or more localized or decentralized, funny, it's a thing called decentralized revolution, right?
Yeah.
That's what those classes are about. It's, you know, and then taking those Q&As, because somebody might give me, it's just little things, right? Like, comedians are good at it. Comedians are good at recognizing the subtle nuances and differences between certain communities or how certain people or certain personality types engage or interact. But if we can get folks that are already being those Jehovah's Witnesses for liberty and curate their message, and then they further refine that curation of the message that makes their outreach efforts more impactful, that's what the rest of this year should be going towards. That's where I want to, like, you know, I got to fly here, I got to fly there. I want to come out to teach people how to do that. And I can answer their direct questions much more effectively in that space. Because they'll ask me the question of, yeah, you know, like Regina's question, like, hey, how do I pop, 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 pop? I can give examples that make sense and I can, you know, streamline the shit. So those things are, or those events for liberty outreach and urban demographics is what I really want to concentrate most of the rest of the year on. Because we going into next year's, I mean, they say this every 4 years, but it's ringing more true more recently here. This statement of, this is the most important election of our lives. It's like, yeah, they say every, you know what I mean? But as we are dealing with stagflation, not even just hyperinflation, like, this is stagflation. There's no doubt about it. I was talking to Smiley Gnome about the financial system has already crashed. This shit is like slapping the fucking sticker on the joint, right? Getting people to have an understanding and be more engaged because of the debt, the stagflation, the potential war with fucking Russia, like the things that we're teetering on, it's like, it is one of the more important elections. And I don't just mean on a national level. I mean on galvanizing everyone's, because clearly both so-called sides are like, dude, Biden, come on, bro. Like, dude, to get people to like not repeat that on a local level is why it's one of the more important elections. If we as libertarians go, and that's our game plan, to say, hey guys, we do not have a candidate, even if we have really smart candidates, right? If you got guys like, if people that follow me on Twitter, Larry Sharp, Dave Smith, Judge Knapp, just sharp, Angela, fucking Angela.
Oh yeah.
Like, these are candidates that if I had $1 billion, I wouldn't mind throwing them in the ring on a national level easy. And like, yo, we actually have the resources to, if we get you on that debate stage, we're going to destroy everybody. But we don't have that infrastructure right now. What we do have is with the enemy, and I say enemy not to, as a diss to other Americans, I say enemy to ideologically, right? Philosophically. Things that are in opposition to liberty, not as we hate other Americans. The opposition is well-funded and has the infrastructure to put those people up there. When that opposition gives us the alley-oop, we got to dunk it. And what they're giving us right now is the clear example for decentralization and communities getting involved in liberty for their areas. Clearly, I think that some, not all, some of the things, if I have to use examples of people in the red-blue camps, I think that DeSantis explained some of that when he was on Glenn Beck a few weeks back, when he had the discussion about how he used so-called emergency powers to keep certain things open. And I disagreed with him on, he was like, well, certain local governments, because it's, you know, smaller and smaller. But I understood what he meant as the state of Florida to, in opposition to the overreach of the federal government. Florida gets to do this for these reasons. And in our state bylaws, I had to use so-called states of emergencies to keep certain things open because I could allocate funds to. Now, yeah. Do I think that certain smaller counties or whatever should be able to do the stuff that they want? Maybe even if it's in opposition to DeSantis, that's a conversation that folks should have on a further level of decentralization. But for the example that we give in here is the federal government wanted to do this. We as Florida and me as the governor said, nah, we kind of got to like push back against that. Mm-hmm. And right now, you know, yesterday was the 3-year anniversary of when all of this stupid COVID stuff started. No one at all at this point, even leftist media is showing their narrative. They're like, just be quiet about it. Just don't even.
Yeah, that never happened.
It just you were dreaming, bro. It was just a dream. So what they're showing or what they're giving us, the lane that they're giving us is the ability to say, hey, this is why you being politically involved, you educating and informing the populace on what liberty is and creating strong candidates and strong just public servants in general, just people that, you know, want to lead with liberty that may run for public offices or local offices. They're showing us the importance of that based on their deeds and how over like they are tanking this economy.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's come on, bro, like another 100 million for Ukraine and they're doing it so blatant.
Yeah.
Like y'all see the paperwork that came out. Biden got like a gang of money. The whole Biden crime family got a gang of money from these Chinese companies.
Yeah, and it's like exactly.
And I'm not saying that Republicans are better in, as it relates to warmongering and things of that nature. But there was clearly a difference in the negotiations between the Trump administration and the Biden administration as it relates to the kickbacks that they got and the access. Like the Biden regime has given like power grids to China. What the fuck? Why does China need? Do we have access to Chinese power grids? And so just these are the opportunities for us to bring up these things and showcase the important. This is what happens when you allow your federal government to get this bloated.
Yeah.
And, these are the things that we have to, you know, articulate to the people. And it's a great time. I say it's a great time in a sense of America traditionally has outlasted. It's a young nation. But empires usually don't last this long. Like we might be like the founders was like, we might could get 200 out this joint. We might, you know? And so just as a great time for people to try to course correct and get back and learn this lesson, as well as it's a great time for us liberty-minded folks to flex our liberty and intellectual muscles in a way that we're not yelling or arguing or competing with each other, but we're bringing other minds into the fold. And that's very challenging. And yeah. So that's what I mean by, you know, a very beautiful time. My other more cynical and nihilistic mentality or self says, I wish we would have got fucking zombies like this. We could have reached that. Talk about a great fucking reset. Like that would have reset a lot of shit. But, you know, wars and famine and death, just because you're good at it doesn't mean it's not bloody. Mm-hmm. You know, we got gas masks like for my whole family right over there. Like I'm fine, but I don't want America to fall. We live here. We love this place. And if we do the best that we can do over these next few years to make sure that we're strengthening those mental, giving more mental fortitude and strengthening liberty in the minds of the people across the nation, then we won't have to worry so much about national elections the same way, you know?
Yeah. So. All right. Well, we're getting to the end, so I'll just do a couple questions quick. So Solutionary Center, what can you tell us about that? Because I know you got a lot of exciting things going on there. In addition to the classes that you're leading across the country, there's also a lot of other classes going on. So
yeah, it's a bunch of stuff there.
Summary of that.
Yeah, we got the Solutionary Center. Guys, if y'all are in Philly, we're at 1265 North 29th Street. We're in North Philly. Just come, take a class. We got Stop the Bleed class on Saturday. We got firearms class, you know, as well on Saturday. We've done, you know, sewing classes, yoga, phlebotomy certification, like everything that we could do to try to, and if someone has something that they want to teach, we need someone that wants to come teach a basic class on libertarianism. I don't care if somebody wants to do it once a week. We'll make the space available. We need an understanding of civics. We need a more consistent civics class. But basically, we're a center that informs people about the things that they need to know. If somebody wants to come teach a class on cutting hair, on skills, trades, plumbing, whatever, we make the space available to folks for free to do so. All of the classes that are there are free. We just asked everybody to pay it forward with a donation, man. Go over to givesingo.com/solutionary. That way we're able to finance everything and all of the beginners that we need, you know, because we want to remove the financial barrier to entry is tight. So if it normally would cost $2,000 or $3,000 to have a class on X, if everybody across social media or the internet is like, oh, it's $3,000. If 1,000 people donated $3, then we get the $3,000. And nobody came out of pocket too heavy. So it's basically, the model is individuals voluntarily deciding, because we do not take government funds at all. That shit ain't my money, it's y'all money. Individuals choosing to add to a collective that benefits and defends individual rights. So it's like this beautiful system of ebb and flow. I am an individual choosing to voluntarily give money to a collective that is going to inform entire communities of people, and that community then defends individual rights and liberty. It's an ultimate balance. So if anybody wants to sign up for classes, solutionarylifestyle.org. If anybody wants to teach a class at the center, I usually try to show up to all of the classes because people be teaching some really valuable stuff in there. We bought all of the sewing machines. Like I took the sewing class.
Nice.
So if you want to do that, solutionarylifestyle@gmail.com, just email us. Hey, I got a class on whatever. If you guys want to donate, givesingo.com/solutionary.
Yeah. We'll have to find you someone that can teach that libertarian class. I'll definitely be asking around about that if we find someone, I'll definitely reach out to you. So we got a question from the audience. I think Regina also has on her mind. Our next event for the Libertarian Party Pennsylvania, Harrisburg Steps on March 23rd. Regina, you want to give a quick summary?
Yeah. So March for Our Lives is going to be at Harrisburg Thursday, the 23rd, basically pushing for more gun legislation and coming for civil liberties. And we as the Libertarian Party are going to be out there to basically counter protest, to talk to them about responsible gun ownership and explain, you know, why, if you look at history, it has never worked out for the citizens as soon as their guns were taken away. It is I cannot find an example in history that it has not led to totalitarianism, or it has not created a moving the goalpost going towards an authoritarian ruling. So we are going to be out there promoting, you know, very, very similar message, you know, what you've been doing with, you know, Black Guns Matter, and just pushing for explaining to people, and kind of how you were saying about changing the definitions and the perspective about, you know, I think we as libertarians get that we're gun nuts just for simply wanting to protect our families and ourselves. So we're going to be out there. You know, we would absolutely love to have you out there. You're a busy guy.
No, listen, I can't remember who it was that tweeted that to me. And I was like, yo, if I'm not doing nothing on the 23rd, I'm just going there. Like it's Harrisburg, right? Yeah, that's like what, like an hour or two away from the crib? I think that's
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half, something like that. I've done it before.
I can't remember exactly what's on my schedule, but yeah, if I'm free, I'm coming to that. Like, that's not even a thing. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll exchange information just so we can get linked up.
Yep.
Awesome. So, Regina, do you have anything else before we wrap up?
No, just Maj, thank you. Like I said, I was familiar with you, you know, a little bit beforehand, but you know, a lot of what you talked about, you know, especially like a lot of what you said about the drug war is really resonating with me. That's a that's an issue that I'm really passionate about. And I just want to thank you for, you know, making it a mission to come out and to educate people and to take the time to talk to us. So thank you. I'm looking forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you all so much for having me, man. I appreciate y'all. When you guys see this show, please make sure you guys are sharing it all over the place. We are on social media platforms that are absolutely censoring us. So guys, if you watch it, make sure you're continuing to support this podcast. It's very important. You know, utilize it, shit, sell it, make money off of it, donate some back to the, to these guys to keep this content going. It's very, very important, guys. We need all hands on deck. And remember, guys, to just be kind. You were just a part of the biggest psychological operation for the last 3 years. This shit is not normal. You, if you're stressed, we understand. Be kind to each other. Be kind to each other. We have to remember to be kind to each other.
Yeah. Well, since you mentioned it real quick, I will bring up that we will be, at least several of us from the PA crew of organizers, myself included, will be at the New Jersey convention next weekend. So might run into you there. And then the Take Human Action Tour event in New York City will be there also.
I'm at both of those.
Yeah, so definitely come out to that. The New Jersey convention is the 24th through the 26th of this month. And then the Take Human Action Tour is Saturday, Sunday, the weekend after, April 1st and 2nd in New York City. All the information on all of those events is in the show notes, except for the New Jersey convention. I'll add that once we're done here. So any last words before we sign off, Maj?
Peace.
All right. Don't forget to take human action, everyone. Have a good night.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.